Say it.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
The Auschamp podcast. Podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Auschamp podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Bianca Fischer-Tarbong and I have Kate with me as well. Today, our special guest is Dr. Melissa Rodriguez. She is a naturopathic doctor at BJU Hospital. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Today with Melissa, we're going to talk about all things health. But first off, could you just explain to us what exactly is naturopathy?
Sure, no problem. So naturopathic medicine is a primary healthcare profession. And basically, I treat disease using methods and substances that are that basically encourage the body's natural ability to heal itself. Mm-hmm. So that could be, you know, through the diet, through herbs, through supplements, homeopathy. All these things can enhance our body's ability to heal itself. So that's really my goal, is to help the body heal itself.
It sounds sort of like a very natural kind of holistic approach to health. And it sounds very almost like traditional Chinese medicine as well. Is there any kind of traditional medicine that you actually, like Chinese-wise, that you use in your practice?
Yeah, so traditional Chinese medicine and naturopathy, I believe, have a lot in common. And actually, naturopathic medicine also employs acupuncture as one of the treatment modalities. And I think the basic concept of health being balance, you know, when your body's in balance, then you're healthy. That same concept applies in naturopathic medicine as well. So I think that's a big parallel there. And there's overlap in terms of herbs that we use for treatment. A lot of Chinese herbs are well known around the world. So those are also part of the treatments that I use.
That's actually so interesting. It's almost like an amalgamation of both the West and East. And speaking of that, I feel like a lot with globalization, a lot of cities are getting urbanized, everything's being developed, and our lives are getting much easier in a way in terms of transport and things like that. And because things are, it's very, I think, very easy for an everyday person to lead an unhealthy lifestyle. What do you think is, in your background, in your field, what really does it mean to be healthy? And how in China, especially in Beijing, a city so bustling, that we can be more healthier?
So I think, you know, what I mentioned before about Chinese medicine, I think is really important, the concept of balance. So I think living in a busy city such as Beijing, I think we really need to keep that concept in mind. And that really the city is almost like the place of the mind, you know, it's like, we're constantly going to work, we're busy, we have stress, we have pressures, we have responsibilities. It's always go, 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 right? So I think in order to be healthy, we really need to have this concept of balance in mind and think about the balance of the mental, emotional aspect as well. So finding ways to de-stress and decompress, I think, is really important in a big city such as Beijing. One of the easy ways that we can do that is through exercise, because I really believe that in order to be healthy, like I mentioned before, we need balance, right? So we need to also focus on our physical health. A lot of times, I think in big cities, we do a lot of things on an intellectual level, like we take courses, you know, we go to work, we're learning new things, new languages. Exercise is one of those things that really benefits our body on so many different levels. And the beauty of it is that it doesn't just benefit our body, but also our mind and our emotions, right? Exercise can help create mental emotional balance. So I think that's really important. We get pulled too much to one side in a way, right? And so we need to be, like I said, balanced. So I think we need to learn ways to do things like meditation or relaxation techniques, deep breathing exercises. All of these things help our body to relax, because it's just every day go, go, go. We just get very stressed. And our body goes into this parasympathetic mode, which is fight or flight. That means that when, you know, our ancestors, when they lived in caves and they had to survive, if they ran into like a wild animal, they had to either fight or they had to run away. So the body has this response, the stress response that it goes into when that happens. And our modern day living causes us to go into that stress response. But there's no bear that eventually goes away and then you can calm down and relax. All of our stress is constant, right? So those high levels of stress hormones in the body really have a negative effect on health.
Do you have any, I guess, suggestions of maybe small things people can start incorporating in their everyday lives? Because as you said, especially in Beijing, everything is go, go, go. I guess not many people can work in maybe like a gym schedule.
So I think exercise is super important. I know I've mentioned it a few times already. But I think that there's different ways that we can incorporate it into our busy lives. For example, now there's a lot of videos that you can find. Either you can purchase them or you can download things online, or you know, you can just access free exercise videos. And I think that's really helpful because you can do it in the comfort of your own home. Especially living in Beijing, you know, we're exposed to outdoor pollution, so it's not always feasible to be able to exercise outside. And actually not always advisable, right? If the pollution level is high, it's really not a good idea. So I think in your home where it's a controlled environment, hopefully most people have air purifiers. So, you know, if you can control the air quality in your home, there's really no reason why you can't exercise at home and do something really simple. Another important thing is to find the type of exercise that works for you. You know, some people do really well with high impact type of exercise, right? A lot of maybe jumping or plyometrics and things like that. But other people really find that the type of exercise that they do well with is more relaxing. So maybe some kind of stretching or yoga. Really, I always tell my patients also that it's important to listen to their own body and know really what works for them. So finding that type of activity that works for you, I think, is really important. I really feel there's no excuse really not to do exercise and not to take care of yourself on that level.
Also, according to your experience, do you feel like there are notable or marked differences in what is considered healthy or fit in, say, maybe the Chinese culture or Australian or Western cultures?
Yeah, I think traditionally there is a difference. And I think there also is a difference according to age groups as well. For example, in China, I love the fact that, you know, if you go to a park early in the morning, you're going to see, you know, old people dancing, ballroom dancing, singing, doing all kinds of Tai Chi and different types of physical activities. And, you know, back home in the West, that's not really something that we see. And I really appreciate that. And I think it's really important for people of all ages to be physically active, to be healthy. So I think in the West, we don't really have that concept. You know, once people get up to a certain age, you know, they're in old folks' homes and we don't really think about them. But in China, we see them outside all the time, doing different activities, playing games, being social. I think that's also an important component of health, having a group of friends, a support network. I think that's really important. In terms of young people, I think the ideas are relatively similar. I think more and more in China, there's a similar concept in the West of, you know, going to exercise to a gym and things like that, whereas traditional Chinese exercise was really more in the park, doing some kind of martial art. So I think the Western influence is coming here, but I think the concept of being physically active has always been a part of Chinese culture. I think maybe that's something that we're in the West realizing more in recent years.
I've read in recent articles that China is also experiencing their own kind of obesity epidemic. What do you think are best ways to maybe combat this, or what do you think are maybe social or cultural reasons why this could be the case?
So definitely China is experiencing a growing obesity problem. Definitely the numbers of obese people, and especially children and teens, is going up in China. So I think that's a factor of many different things. One of them being a change in lifestyle. The traditional ways of living, of eating, are being lost to more convenient fast foods, eating out a lot. So I think those things definitely impact weight in a negative way. And so to counteract it, I think, again, it's going back to basics, right? Definitely exercise helps to maintain a healthy body weight. That's one thing that can be done. I personally think that it's important to teach children how to cook, how to eat healthy, because then when they grow up, they can be examples as well. Cooking is like a traditional art that's being lost, I feel, because we eat out so much. The way to really eat healthy, to really ensure that you're eating healthy, is to eat at home. I think that's an important aspect, but of course that takes time, right? And it's more on a family's responsibility to teach their kids. But definitely looking at ways to eat healthier at home, even for adults, if you don't know how to cook, to learn how to cook, to take the effort to try and find healthy recipes and things like that.
Because I feel like, especially in the West, there are always these kind of new fad. There's like clean eating, you have those gluten-free diets, all these things that media celebrities are really portraying. But in the end, it really does come down to what you learn as a kid, what your parents teach you. And I don't think it's anything too difficult or too hard to eat healthy or just to be informed. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be eating quinoa all the time. You don't need to be eating kale all the time. It's just having a balanced diet.
It just sounds like this is a really good way of connecting to what you spoke about before, that this idea of having a lifestyle that's healthy and the idea of cooking and what you eat is really connected to this overall theme of balance. So do you think that the food you eat and then exercise and the things you do, that they're all connected in this way as well?
Yeah, I definitely think that. And I think that a healthy lifestyle, it's becoming trendy in some ways, like you mentioned, right? But I think it really, it's because it's so important and we really need it. And we've kind of turned away from that. Like I mentioned before, just most of us live in cities and that entails a lot of go, 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 being busy. You know, we've lost touch with the simple things that are taking care of our spirit, actually taking care of our body, you know, being kind to our body, eating well, exercising, helping it to relax, because that's important too. So I think, yeah, definitely all those things are related. And in order for a person to be healthy, they need to be balanced on all these aspects, right? Physical, mental, emotional, environmental as well. Environmental health plays a huge part. Social as well, spiritual. So I think all those things are related.
And you said earlier that people have like no excuse to not be more healthy, but what about the sort of stresses in our daily life, like work commitments was something that you mentioned before, but we could also talk about like study commitments and family pressure. So for example, a topic that's very popular in China is the idea that in university, a lot of students don't get a chance to do physical activity, or like because their family just says no, you shouldn't extracurricular sport because that's a waste of your time. Right now you need to focus on your grades, on your career. That's what's most important. And in the West, like in Australian culture, we grew up with this idea of yeah, go have a part-time job, go play sport, extracurricular. Like there's an idea of a well-rounded individual that we're really accustomed to, but sometimes here there's an idea of really focusing on one thing for a specific stage of your life. Do you think that this takes away from the people's ability to balance?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that, again, is a factor of our modern lives, you know. And particularly China has a situation where, you know, there's just limited resources. And so there's a huge population, and so it's difficult, you know, families want the best for their kids, and so there's a lot of pressure on that sense, you know, I can understand that. And I think it's just the fact that, you know, we've lost sight of the big picture, you know, we're just focusing on getting good grades, but that really is a very limited aspect of who you are and what you're doing for your future, right? So I think the concept of kids being well-rounded in order to go abroad, because now a lot of Chinese kids are going abroad to study, I think that concept is starting to be incorporated. And I think actually the Chinese education system is also starting to change. My kids go to local schools. I see the change from when they started in grade 1 to now my son's in grade 6, and things have changed. You know, the concept is changing. They have more time to exercise in school. There is more of a focus on extracurricular compared to when they first started. There is less emphasis on homework compared to when they started. So I think things are changing, but of course that takes time, right?
And from your experience with like your patients, what do you think can trigger people's like desire to make a change in their lifestyle, to really break out of that like daily loop of not really always thinking about starting to exercise, starting to be more fit? What is usually like serves as a really effective trigger to actually go and change something?
Yeah, so I think for most people, they actually need that trigger in order to change. Because, you know, on an intellectual level, I think we all understand that exercise is important and healthy living is important. We make excuses, and I say we because, you know, I do that too sometimes. I mean, we're all human. But for most people, there's a certain point. Like, either you get some blood tests done and you get some negative results, or, you know, someone has a heart attack, or someone in their family has develops cancer or something, where then they realize that they need to change the way they're doing things. Hopefully your listeners don't need to wait for something like that to happen, but can really just be empowered by wanting to be better, because I think all these things help us to be better. And really, the World Health Organization says that we don't need to do like hours of exercise a day, but that even doing 30 minutes of moderate exercise 5 times a week, that's enough. So moderate exercise means that, you know, your heart rate goes up, but you're not having difficulty speaking. You know, if you're running, you can get out of breath, but moderate is less intense. That would be more vigorous. So that's really not a lot. You know, you can go for a walk, a 30-minute walk and brisk walk, and that would be enough. So I think there's always ways to incorporate that. And if the air isn't good, just do it in your house. You know, I've done that before, marching in place for 20 minutes or something, you know. So it really just finding ways to incorporate that.
We have a bit of a tradition going on with the AusCham podcast. We like to ask our interviewees, do you have a book that you could recommend to our listeners? Anything at all? It doesn't have to be related to health, just maybe something that's kind of grabbed your attention right now.
I think it's called The Four Agreements, actually. I read that a long time ago, but I really like that. So the four agreements are these: be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. So I think that's, you know, something that we can all live by.
Thanks, Melissa. Those are great words to live by, and I think just the perfect way to wrap up this podcast.
You are listening to AusCham Podcast. To learn more, visit our website at beijing.auscham.org.